Hi, this is Steve Yang with Natural Resource Stocks at the Rural Symposium 25, and we've got a special guest here, Richard Young from I-80 Gold. How are you?
I'm great, Steve. Thank you for having me.
How are you enjoying the symposium so far?
Loving it. First time here. We're honored to be invited, and it's been great.
So where are you guys coming from?
Well, our corporate office is Reno, Nevada. Our assets are in Nevada, but we do have an executive office in Toronto.
Okay. So you have all your minings and all your projects in Nevada?
That's correct. So we've got four projects. They're past producers.
Okay.
We've got 14 million ounces of gold in measured, indicated, inferred. Another 200 million ounces of silver in the same three categories. Across the four properties.
So can you tell us a little bit about the four properties, the jurisdiction, if you can tell us about the infrastructure, the roads, how far are you guys and where are you guys in the process?
Yeah, great question. So we're literally located just off of the I-80 highway. That's how we got our name. So in many cases, we're just the off-ramp off of the highway. So these are past producers. They've been part of large companies. So, you've got pavement to the gate, you've got power, you've got a lot of infrastructure that's still in place that was on care and maintenance. At Lone Tree, we've actually got one of three autoclaves in the state that we are embarking on updating feasibility study this year, and we'll start that refurbishment, so that'll be in production by 2028. So that's a real critical piece of our infrastructure. And then, we've got three underground operations, two open pit operations. They're part of the current development plan that will take us from less than 50,000 ounces of annual production today to between 600,000 and 700,000 ounces by 2032.
Is that right?
So my understanding is that Nevada is top tier when it comes to jurisdiction. Would you say that's the case, and what advantages does that give you as a company?
So, you're right. It's one of the top three gold-producing regions. Well, when you look at countries, it's two or three. I'm not sure what the number is today. But, Nevada and that Carlin Trend have hosted some of the biggest gold mines in the world. And the geology is excellent. It's very continuous. You've got, favorable mining code. Both the federal and the state government are mining friendly. You've got the infrastructure in place, including people, contractors, consultants, that make it easy to be able to operate in the jurisdiction, as opposed to many gold mines around the world are isolated, and it would be difficult to either find people or get the infrastructure in place or to be able to service them.
So you say you have four projects, four mines that are past producing.
That's correct.
Can you elaborate on what that means, past producing, and how much life is left in these mines?
Great question. So the fact that they're past producing means that they've already been permitted and they're already, essentially operating mines with pits and infrastructure in place. So what we've got to do as part of the re-permitting is just re-permit the original plan of operation that already been granted at the state and the federal level.
Okay.
So it's easier than a greenfields permitting project would be.
Okay.
Infrastructure being in place is critical because it reduces the amount of capital that has to be invested to be able to get these mines up and running. It just really makes a huge difference. So where we're at, we're in commissioning of our first underground mine.
Okay.
We're gonna start construction of our second underground mine. And when I talk about these underground mines, all they are portals out of the side of a pit. So the capital required is in the neighborhood of about $40 million, plus some dewatering costs. to lower the water table. That's it. And then we've got the refurbishment of the autoclave. That's all part of our phase one development plan that will see production rise from less than 50,000 ounces today to between 150 and 200,000 ounces per year in 2028. And then we've got...
So phase one goes to 2028?
Right. Yeah. And during that time, we'll permit the next two projects that should essentially double production by the end of the decade. And then phase three would be permitting our flagship operation at Mineral Point, which ultimately we think will likely produce between 300 and 350,000 ounces just from that asset on gold equivalent production when it's up and running. We're currently targeting late 2031 or early 2032.
So your flagship project is stage three, not
stage
one.
Yes.
Is there what's the permitting. Plan? What's the permitting?
Okay. It's all permitting driven.
Okay, so the flagship is starting phase three roughly, what year are you thinking?
2031.
Okay. So until then, you're looking at one by 2028?
Well, right, so then phase then one two. Is called 2,000 ounces in 2028.
Okay.
We'll exit 2029 with between 350 and 400,000 ounces of annual production.
And you're mostly finding gold, is that correct? And if you can tell us about the grade as well as anything else you might be finding here.
Great, grade is king. So two of our three underground operations, our 10 gram material was quite high grade. The third underground is 7 grams, so still very good grade. So we've got high grade underground operations, open pit. We have two oxide open pit operations okay. that are in this development plan. The first is Granite Creek open pit. It's about 1.25 grams, which for a heap leach or mill is good solid grade. The lowest grade is Mineral Point, but that's a gold and copper mix. That's less than 1 gram. It'll be a heap leach, two-stage crushing, okay. with very good recovery rates. So that's the flagship, but the lowest grade.
Gotcha. So if you can tell us a little bit more about yourself, I just met you today. Yeah. You seem like a nice guy, but I hear you're kind of a big deal. If you can tell us about your background, where you come from, and what kind of experience do you bring with you?
I'm a CA by training, or CPA today. I was hired by Barrick in late 1990 when they had 25 employees in the corporate office. And I worked there for nearly a decade and a half. I worked in every department as that company grew. And I would joke with people that if it was standard 40-hour work week, I worked a quarter of a century at Barrick. And then I left with Alan Hill, who was the executive VP that built all of Barrick's projects. And he and I were hired essentially by Newmont to permit a project in Romania that they were the largest shareholder of.
Okay.
That unfortunately didn't go as well as planned. And so Al and I decided that we're done with permitting ventures, we own operating companies, and we acquired and IPO'd Sabadell as part of Teranga in 2010. Over just over a decade, we quadrupled reserves and production, created a mid-tier gold producer, sold that to Endeavor. And then we were asked by the chair of Argonaut, who I had worked with in the past, to come in and assist with Argonaut. And we were there for about 18 months, completed construction of the Magino mine in Ontario, and then ultimately sold Argonaut in three pieces to three different mining companies that have done very well with the assets. And then our group, and when I say our group, there's about 8 or 9 of us that have worked together for 15 to 20 years in most cases, 3 to 4 companies that have come together and have joined I-80. And, you know, I say that because, you know, when you look at our background, we've never been blessed with having a lot of cash on the balance sheet. So we've got a lot of experience and expertise in raising capital for projects. And so they're a group that has great values. and are highly experienced and very well regarded by the street. And so we've got a number of different sources of capital as we move forward to complete the recapitalization, which to get us through phase two, we need about $800 million. $200 to restructure the current debt on the balance sheet, $6 for the advancement of those two phases. Two-thirds of that is the refurbishment of the autoclave, and the balance is for everything else. So we've raised $300 million in equity through the recent equity raise, including the warrants. We've got another $100 million that we expect to come to the balance sheet through restricted cash and some other warrants that will come due in 28. And then we're looking at senior debt financing and of $350 to $400 million, and then the sale of some non-core assets. So we should have more than enough to be able to complete both phase one and phase two and set us up for phase three.
So can you tell us about the share structure a bit, as well as what percentage of insiders and institutions are own the company?
We have today roughly about 800 million shares outstanding. With the warrants that we would expect to be in the money and exercise, we would be a little over a billion shares outstanding, all common. We've got about $175 million of debt on the balance sheet that generally matures over the next 12 to 24 months. About $150 million in cash.
Right.
And we'll look with the senior financing to restructure that debt on the balance sheet next year as it comes due. And in terms of share ownership, we've got a number of largely long only funds as cornerstones in the company, largely US institutions. Individuals that are own probably 40 or 50% of the company today.
So we're here at the symposium. We've got a lot of gold companies, and gold is exciting for me, and I'm bullish on gold, as most of us here are. But if you can tell us a little bit about why investors should be excited about I-80 in particular. Is there any, if you can tell us about the upside and the reward, and if you can also tell us a little bit about the risk perhaps, and just kind of give us the full picture, if you will.
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
So with I-80, you get both alpha and beta. Look, if gold prices either stayed at current levels or decline, as we execute on this growth plan, our share price will rise. So irrespective of gold price, it's a win as we execute. And then with these gold prices or higher gold prices, there's just so much value in this asset base. There's just so much leverage. So we completed PAs on five of our six gold projects that we filed at the end of the first quarter. At a $21.75 gold price, you're looking at about $1.6 billion in NAV. Our current market cap is between $400 and $500 million. Enterprise value less than $700 million US. But at $2,900, it's $4.5 billion. And we believe as we complete the infill drill programs that are required to move from a PEA to a feasibility study, that the NAV at $3,000 gold or $2,900 will probably be roughly about $6 billion US.
And what gold price?
$2,900 to $3,000.
Okay.
Again, there's a lot of torque in our share price for sure as we execute.
So I'm excited about what you guys got going on. You got phase one, to 2028. Is there any, right now it's 2025, is there any news that followers or investors can be looking out for, or immediate milestones in the upcoming 3-6 months. And lastly, after that, if you can tell us how to find you in terms of if we have questions or if investors want to invest, if you can tell us about your ticker and website as well.
Yeah, so in terms of news flow, we are completing feasibility studies on three of our gold projects, as well as the refurbishment of the autoclave.
Okay.
Over the course of the next 6, 12, and 18 months. So a number of drill programs underway, both infill and step out. So there will be a lot of news flow. We trade under the TSX and the NYSE American Exchange.
Yeah.
And IAU is our ticker symbol.
What is it?
IAU.
IAU.
What's that?
So please look us up.
Awesome. And then is there an email or a phone number or a website you can direct our listeners to?
Sure. If you go to our website, iadgold.com, there is a investor link, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that people might have who are listening here today.
Well, we got Richard Young here. It's been great. Hope you enjoy the rest of the symposium. I know I will, but it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.